We're going to talk about to go astray. Also, you can think of it as being led astray. Nowhere in God's Word does it say, be careful of that bar down the street. There's a drunk down there going to lead you astray. Nowhere does it say a bunch of sinners are going to lead you astray when the warning of going astray is given. Quite the contrary, planeo, in the Greek tongue, to waver and to be led away from the truth. That's what the word means, to go astray. It's always done by religionists. Every warning in the Bible of planeo is directly related to false prophets originally, then they become teachers, and then just people. But it's always the religionist that you want to be very careful of, every warning, over and over and over. Now, we're covering these subjects in the last lecture, the one before that, and this, in preparation for what's about to happen at Fall Fellowship. Preparing the mind for the simplicity in which Christ teaches to see that you are not led astray, planeo. There's another word, plano. We'll be covering that. That's usually translated as deceit. But it has kind of a fraudulent, fraud is usually used with plano, planeo. And you can be frauded, but it's always basically in the religionist sense. And, well, that's a little scary, some might say. No, it isn't. You have God's Word to make your own mind up. And you're supposed to document and prove all teachings done by man to discern which is true and which is untrue. It's real easy. Line it up in God's Word. Let our Father be the judge. You know why? You might as well decide to let Him, because He is. And His blessings flow to you, Word, from how much He can depend on you, how well you're prepared, basically. You know, if you're prepared, He can use you. If you're not, I'd be a little skeptical of using you, wouldn't you? I think so. If you're not prepared, what are you good for? It's a good question. Think about it. It comes down to the point of God's purpose, the simplicity of it. And this is going to be very basic, but sometimes we have to go back to the basics. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 18th chapter of the great book of Matthew. The first gospel of our New Testament. It's always well when you're, what was the purpose of Christ coming to this earth? We have to go back to those basics to truly understand. He was teaching and instructing His people here in this chapter. I'm going to pick it up at the 10th verse to pick the subject up on that is to say, the discussion that we will be doing today. Verse 10 of the 18th chapter of Matthew, and always study God's Word, not traditions of men. That coming out the gate, so we go to God's Word. Verse 10. Take heed, that means you be careful, that you despise not one of these little ones, that's to say God's little servants, that's you when you plant seeds. For I say unto you, that in heaven, where? In heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That means at any time you're in trouble, they have God's attention to get you help. Now, that's if you're one of His elect and one of His servants, if you're doing His work. If you're just a freeloader, well, I'd kind of forget that verse. It doesn't apply to you. It's according to whether you believe or not, is what my point is. Now, why did Jesus come to this earth? Verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now, did it say He came here to take glory from those that were found? Did it say he came here to rejoice with those that are found? I don't think it said that. He came here to find and give opportunity to that which is lost, which goes back to the first earth age, the third that were lost. That's your purpose if you are in him, because that's his purpose. Self doesn't enter into this a whole lot, you know? Because if you are saved in truth and you study that truth, you're kind of found. So you become a part of the family that seeks the lost. You'll plant a seed, it may not grow. You don't force yourself on anyone. And you, with dignity, seek out that is lost. And as you know from experience, there's a lot that are lost that don't want to be found. So you just kind of be patient with that and go right on. It's not, if God blinded some, don't you ever get the big idea that you can give them eyes to see. You can't. If God blinded them, they're going to stay blind until God's ready for them to see. So there we have the primary purpose. He came to heal those that are lost, to find them. That's the purpose. Don't ever lose sight of that purpose. It's so easy to end up, well, let's just glory with him. No, that's not our job. That's just one of the side benefits, basically, not to take away from how precious it is. But the job, the work, is to find that is lost. But for the grace of God, there go I. Okay. They need help. And you must think of them rather than self necessarily. Verse 12, and he gives an analogy as he always does, one that you can probably understand. Concerning the lost, what does he say? 12, how think ye? How is it that you do your thinking? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, planeo, that's our subject for today. If just one of them has gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Now, let that be a lesson to you. Are you a Christian? Do you do as Christ does? Then may you also look to go after that one that has gone astray, that is lost, and be helpful. So many people, unfortunately, like to share how much they know. It's very important to them that they just dump the whole load right on one poor little animal. You know, sheep, that is to say. I'm not calling people animals here. But be gentle. Nourish it. Feed it. As it is capable of handling what you have to say. It isn't important how much you know to that individual. They need to know what is good for them to know. Put yourself in their place. You were there once, probably, or very near to it. Be gentle. It is not important how intelligent we are and how versed we might be or whatever kind of linguist we might be in the languages of the word. The duty and the purpose is to find that is lost. And let me say something. Everyone that does not understand that the spurious Messiah comes first with a message of I've come to rapture you away is basically confused, if not lost, because they're being set up. They're being led astray. And I know that offends some. If you can't handle it, put it on the shelf. God's word states it, and it happens to be true. So Christ goes after those that are lost. He doesn't spend all of his time with those that are found. Okay? Verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more for that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. For it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one, no, not even one of these little ones should perish. they will. Some of them will perish. It's written. And you know people. Some of them are so stubborn that there's no way you're going to help them. But those we do find, they're more precious. Some people will say, well, I've only found one person that I could bring to the Lord. Great! That's fantastic. Let's rejoice over that one more than this whole group right here. Okay? That's important. Why? That's what we're about. Don't ever lose sight of that. Oh, but I want to go into deeper things. Do you know what? Most people that want to go into deeper things, if you're not careful, you go astray, seeking things that are not written, but looking for sensationalism, or trying to read between lines when it will not carry it, will not support the fact, and you're going to end up in trouble. You know what? You're in your wisdom, you're going to go astray because you lose sight of what you're here for. And I know I sound like a broken record on stay focused on God's word, but that's important. Why? That's where it's all at. None of us are important. God's word is very important. So, phaneo, to waver, to go astray, to cause one to stray from what? Truth. God's word. That's what they stray from. And naturally, we all know that someday the great apostasy is going to happen, and it's not going to be that far off, friends. And certainly, as teachers, you need to prepare the people for that is coming, that you know is coming, and it will come to pass. And you've got to be prepared for it. And I feel our Father nudges us closer and closer to that mark of exactly how it's going down, so that anxiety is removed from your heart. We'll be covering this further at Fall Passover Fellowship, rather. And to alleviate a lot of anxiety and making you a fit warrior, all right? A fit spiritual warrior. Now, open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. The meaning of this same word in Hebrew is teah, and it means to vacillate. Now, if you ever catch yourself vacillating, I suppose we could give that a kinship to confusion, but usually vacillating is to go from this side to that side. Don't be like that. Well, I listened to this preacher here for 30 minutes and that one over there, and here we go. You know? Focus here. And don't let someone pull you away from our purpose of being here. The book of Ephesians, and we're going to go to chapter 4. I want you to note how that this chapter 4 begins. In the book of Ephesians, excuse me. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Do you lose sight of why we're here? To save that is lost? To save, excuse me, perhaps the word salvation, I should say, teach those that are confused. That's how they're saved. If they call themselves saved and they're still steeped in confusion, they're not. Okay, they're going to be very ashamed and embarrassed. You can stop that. You can help that if you focus on the simplicity in which you were sent here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Again, as I stated, it isn't important how smart you are or how much of this Bible you've memorized or know or can teach. What's important is what level is that person you're helping thinking on, and do you have the discernment to be able to lead from there. That's how you make yourself successful in teaching God's word. Okay, think about that. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, never leave that arc of peace of mind very far. Therefore, well, how can I be sure of that? Use common sense. As long as you use common sense, you're not going to lose the average person. All right? Just that simple. Now, this is not a part of my subject that I intended, but I wanted to cover this next verse. It isn't difficult. That's my point. Listen to this. There is one body. There's not a half a dozen. There's not two. We've got one body. Isn't that complicated? And one spirit. That's why children can absorb the word so easily. They focus on what is said. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, tell me again, what was it we're supposed to do? Seek the lost. That's the purpose. That's what this entire earth age, this dispensation is about, is saving the third that went astray. Not you, if you be one of God's saints. You're already saved. We're to find those that are lost. That's why we broadcast as we do, and you're a part of that. So don't feel like I'm putting you down for not doing anything, but it's important that you focus on what we're doing, okay? That we stay in line with what God would have us do, else your blessings are going to fly out the window like a birdie bye-bye. Got to focus on Him. Okay, skip down to the 11th verse, and we're going to pick it up there now. Meaning, it's not complicated. There's just one Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Follow Him. One Savior, Christ. Follow Him, not the fake. My whole point in reading that was that there's not really room to be too confused unless you choose to confuse yourself. Verse 11. And He gave some, these are gifts, charisma. In the Greek, meaning gift. That's what the word means. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 12. What for? What do we want them for? 12. For the perfecting of the saints. That's the set aside ones that do God's work. For the work, for the what? The praise for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why they were given a gift. Not because they're really something special. But to do that work. Period. 13. Till ye all come in the unity of the faith. Tell me again, how many faiths are there? One. Just one. Nothing complicated. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's His doctrine. Unto a perfect man. That means a complete man or a mature man. No gender in this, man, woman, or child. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is to say, to with dignity serve Him. That's not to say we don't all stumble. In a sense, sometimes we're stumble bums. It seems like you wake up in the morning and everything you do just fumbles and stumbles. Still, you're in that family. It happens to you. But it's as long as you stay focused on what it is you're supposed to do, God will bless you and count it as perfect, all right? None of us are perfect. 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. That means to vacillate in indecision. In confusion. Let me tell you something. You live in a generation where you don't have time to be confused, friend. You're going to have your mind sharp and to the point if you're going to be a servant of God. You got to know when to help and when not to help. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. You got to be careful what kind of doctrines you indulge in. If it isn't God's word, hey, what do you want with it? Okay, then it's philosophy, basically. By the sleight of men, every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the word deceive here in the Greek is the is part of the word plain a. It is plain a, and it has a fraudulent connotation. In other words, they'll fraud you. They'll defraud you away from one spirit, one faith, and one doctrine, quite frankly, and that's the doctrine of Christ. You let somebody pull you away from that. Well, what was it again? It was so complicated. Find the lost. It's God's will that they all be saved. They won't be, but he holds us accountable to do the best we can. Okay. So what basically is it talking about here? Don't listen to men without checking them out in God's word. You can think for yourself. Do you know what you get involved in when you're not allowed to question? You're in a cult. When you are told not to think for yourself, you're in a cult. I don't care how large the denomination is. If they want to do all of your thinking for you, you're in a cult. You've got to think for yourself. And a good teacher is going to teach you how to study God's word for yourself and basically maintain that you hold the simplicity in which Christ taught. True wisdom is not how much you know as a linguist. True wisdom is to be able to take that might be complicated to some and simplify it where it's plain common sense that a child can understand. That's wisdom. And all wisdom comes from God. Has he gifted you? That's charisma. That's what the word gift means, charisma. The charismatic move got started from that word gift. Many good gifts are given to facilitate one body. That's Christ's body. The simplicity of the doctrine that he taught, which explains with common sense how things are going down, especially in these end times. You don't have to be a prophet to do that. The prophets have already taught us. They've already been here. It's written. And anytime Christ, if you ever have a confusion, well, should I trust that? Didn't Christ, there wasn't a New Testament when he walked the earth. There was only an Old. And he wasn't talking about traditions of men when he would state, it is written by Esaias or Isaiah, or it's written by this one or that one. Or have you read, he said, what Daniel said? That's what you need, see, is a working knowledge within that, all right? They want to deceive. See that you are not deceived. Well, now, did it say that I should be afraid of that drunk down the street? No, common sense let you know to be careful there. He said, winds of doctrine, that's religion. Be careful. That's what you're warned about, is false religion. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And there you have it. Let's go back to one that you are so familiar with, Mark 13, which has to do with you being delivered up, lest you forget. The simplicity. What are you warned about? Mark 13, verse 6. We're only going to be here a short moment. Mark 13, verse 6 is that time when you are delivered up before the spurious Messiah. You're not to premeditate, but allow the one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, to speak through you. What does it say there? Now I want you to focus on that one verse, verse 6. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many? A lot. In other words, they come saying, I'm a Christian preacher. You can count on me. You know, and unfortunately, so many people that are untaught, if you share something with them, do you know where they're going to head? Do you think it would be the good old Bible? Uh-uh. They're going to run to Reverend. And Reverend is going to say, Somebody is trying to steal my sheep. Well, they're not his, they're the Lord's, okay? Nobody owns the sheep but the Lord, all right? So that's childishness and pettiness, is for someone to think they own sheep. You know, they don't. The Lord owns us all. If you don't believe the Lord owns you, then you've never read Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Because it states very clearly, all souls are mine. Do you know what one of those revolving ribs is going to tell you? You need to get around to giving your soul to God. Well, he shows his ignorance because God already owns you. You're all his to do with as he chooses. Which way will it be, up or down? All right. Well, he wrote this letter to you for you to study and absorb, where you don't have to run to some reverend to get an opinion. You run to the Word rather to check the reverend out. All right. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I just say it as a teacher of truth. He makes it very clear. Verse 5 says, take heed lest any man deceive you. Now, did he say, worry about that bartender down there? He tells a lot of vicious stories. No, he didn't say that. He said they're going to come claiming to be Christian. Claiming to be Christian teachers. That's who he said to be afraid of. Not afraid. We don't have to be afraid of anyone. But I mean, watch them. Watch them. All right? Most of them have this real religious habit. Most of the time, they just want to pass the plate by doing something religious, see, and pray over it. Long prayers before passing that plate, you know, to put everybody on go, you know, or whatever. Well, I'm just making friends and influencing people. All right, I'm glad we don't do that sort of thing here. I just really am proud of that. Skip to verse 22 with that same thought. You know what's in between 6 and 22. For false Christs, did it say fake bartenders? Now, you may get tired of hearing me say that, but I want you to have this down pat. He didn't say, be afraid of gamblers. Not to say that gamblers aren't bad and bartenders, I don't know, some of them are bad. They couldn't mix anything. But whatever. They wouldn't even know what Coors was. You so like in there, you got good, but that's not what it's warning you about. All right, it says for false Christs, that's messiahs, and false prophets, that's teachers, shall rise, not maybe, not perhaps, shall, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce. There's the word you want to check out, seduce, and if it were possible, even the elect. In other words, the Plano, a little fraud mixed in among it again here. In other words, that's what the warning is about. How do you ground yourself simply in God's Word? It's that simple. And unfortunately, it's so simple that most people read over it. They don't, well, I've been told to keep away from sin. The biggest sin you can commit is to believe false teachings. Because, you know, a sin of the flesh might get you in trouble. But a sin of the spirit might send you to hell. So which is the most important? See that you don't let someone spiritually mislead you. How do you do that? By being familiar with the teachings of Christ and be able to stick with subject and object. Why was Christ sent here? To save the lost. That's why he came. Not for those that had already overcome. Not for the elect's sake. We could read there, for the elect's sake he shortened the days, had we started a few verses earlier. Next verse, just for a little frosting on the teaching, 23. But take ye heed. That means I want you to be careful. Behold, I have foretold you all things. When? In this word. He wants you to be real careful. But he wants you to know, I've warned you about everything you need to know about. Basically here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the Greek, you have basically the false prophets. changed over to false teachers. That's kind of splitting hairs, but it does make a difference, technically speaking, all right? Theologically speaking, better said. But still, to simplify it, let's say, here we are warned of false teachers. And do you know something? You're going to learn that there are some teachers that enjoy deceiving themselves, hunting for the sensationalism. It's one of Satan's main tricks is using Scripture. So when he gets a person, especially one of God's elect, that he can convince them they should become a teacher, and they begin to fade away or drift away or go astray, planeo, the subject of this lecture, then they can deceive them their own selves and seem to love it. You got to be very careful. And I'm going to tell you who that happens to more so than you might think, is those that study most. When, I'm qualifying here, when they lose sight of why they're here. You can't lose sight of your purpose. That's your anchor. That's your focus. Then you become like a ship that need be helped in one place to save someone. The anchor breaks and it drifts, Lord only knows where. Listless, to and fro, no purpose. And if there's anything that should let you know that God expects you to be grounded, was you've known there was more to God's word. I don't have to ask you. I know. You knew from a child there was more to God's word than you were being taught. And you knew you were going to have to dig it out for yourself, the hard way maybe, but you were going to be led into the truth. You knew it because God touched you. So then don't, whatever you do, don't lose that anchor to him. Because you think, well, that is so simple. The child could understand it, and I want to be a doctor of something. Well, you want to be careful. You may be a doctor of Satan's feather pillow to puff it up for him good so you can lead people to his bed. Because if you're not careful, that's what you'll be doing. The simplicity is difficult. Some people say, well, I didn't know it was that simple. Well, it is. So remain focused upon that. And again, true wisdom is to take the depths of theology and the languages and simplify it. Keep it simple where a child can understand, and then you're fit for something. Until then, nobody's going to listen to you. Not going to listen to you. You're not going to do any good until you realize your purpose and stick with it. All right? It's that simple. All right, now, I got us where? I got us to 2 Timothy. And we're going to pick it up here in chapter 3 this time. And we're just going to, we got a little time here. I want to, let's just listen to Paul for a moment. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times, that's trouble times, shall come. You can count on it. Why? Satan's coming. What would you expect? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, that means chasing the dollar, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, mark in your mind, that's what they are. They are really unholy, but you know what they claim to be? Hang with me here. Without natural affection, truce breakers. You know something? Anytime you leave that that is natural, you're headed for trouble. God doesn't like that. False accusers, that's gossipers. Incontinent, which is to say without self-control. Furious, despisers of those that are good. Good what? Good teachers, for one thing. People that are good at teaching God's word, of planting seeds, of focusing on that God would have you do through Christ, the one body, in building it. They're going to talk about you, all right? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. I mean, they claim to be God's best servants, claim to be God's best teachers, preachers, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. In other words, they will not recognize the reality of our Father, that He has power just over our heads to do what we cannot, to assist in things that we can't handle. He's there to see that it happens right. That's the reality of it. Do you remember how we started? The first verse we covered in this lecture. Do you not know that the angels have the face of God? That simply is a metaphor that means His attention. That means they can get God's attention that quick when you need it. Okay. Do you think that's a joke? No, that's a reality for God's election. All right, it just is. Those doing His work, if you like the sound of that better. All right? Beware, okay? Verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. That's wrong teachings, in other words. Now, why poor women, you all take a licking, I guess, in figures of speech. But what are we all? What are we supposed to be when Christ returns? A bride. Is a bride male or female? Well, spiritually, they're female. And the female gender is used. Now, silly brides that can be led astray by false teaching, or to be led away by those that claim to be godly, claim to be holy, but they're unholy. Why? They turn away from God's word. That's why. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's sad, isn't it? Now, let's skip on down, if we may, to verse 13. Now, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But hey, you know what? Bring it on. We know they're there to take care of us anyway. Bring that persecution on. We can cut it. Hey, we can plow deeper than anybody else. We were born ready. Bring it on. Never fear persecution, because it's not God that's going to persecute you. It's Satan. And we have power over him. We take names and kick dragon. Come on down. All right? They're afraid of us whenever you exercise the power that God has instilled within us in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. So don't ever fear anything. Use common sense and be able to protect your family and understand what I'm talking about. But spiritually, the demons run from us. They know we know what to do with them, all right? Verse 13, listen carefully. But evil men and seducers, they claim to be holy. They claim to have a form of godliness. Seducers shall wax worse. They're going to get worse, not better. Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the point I wanted to make. Plenio, plenio. They love to deceive themselves in their wisdom. Well, let's study something deeper here, brother. Probably we're the only ones that'll know this. They probably will be. But they'll probably want to teach it to some ignorant nut running around that doesn't know any better than to listen to a bunch of hogwash, okay? Now, one thing you want to be careful at Passover, you always have a lot of those show up, you know.
We have, what Pastor Murray teaches down there is one thing, he's a good old boy, but I've got wisdom. You come on up to my room. We've had some women get in trouble going up to his room, all right? One, we dedicated the baby the next year. You know, he didn't. Some of them don't have spiritualism on their mind. All right, it happens. I hope I'm a better teacher. That
You don't listen to squirrels because they're a dime a dozen. If they had an audience, they wouldn't have to come and try to take mine. They can't. I don't worry about that. Don't kid yourself. I'm not the least bit worried about anybody taking sheep from me because they're not mine. They're God's. And if anybody else can mislead them after studying with me, I'd rather they had them than I. I'm not hard up for students. But I am a teacher. And squirrels will show up. And they will say, look what I have worked out here. I can give you the whole Bible in the first chapter of Genesis. Really? Yeah, I mean, weird, strange stuff. Stick and focus on truth. No one can improve. Listen to me. No one can improve on the doctrine of Christ. You got that? Again, I will say it. True wisdom is the man, woman, or child that can simplify whereby anyone can understand at whatever level they are, because that wise person is going to be able to discern at what power it can be received. Got it? Okay. They are such deceivers that they love to even deceive themselves. That's important. You know what happens there? The prophets, would-be prophets that claim to be prophets, have turned themselves into teachers of themselves. And it's like an animal that's a carnivore that begins to consume itself. That's how terrible and ungodly it is when one begins to live off of others' lies and ricochets here and it gets lied about here, enlarged here, and finally here. Did you hear what so-and-so said? If you ever get started in that stuff, think about Daniel in the Apocrypha, where they were trying to hang this poor girl that two Kenites had lied about to get her killed, claiming that she was betrothed and claiming that they saw her with a young man under a tree. And hey, did you hear what was her name? Suzanne. Did you hear about Suzanne? Oh no, what was it? Give me the good stuff first, okay. Well, Suzanne was caught in the garden and they said, we're going to stone her at sunset. Daniel says, leave me out of it. And this is a book in the Apocrypha, okay. And they said, why? Well, you've got to prove. So bring those, and they were Kenites, believe it or not. Bring them out here. Take one in that house and lock him in there and let me have the other. He said, under which tree? Is that why I have that palm tree right over there? Send him away and bring me the other. Which tree did you see this at? It's that hickory tree right over there. He said, stone both of them to death. And Suzanne was innocent, see. So watch deceivers. They start something that lives on itself and it becomes a living thing. And it's fake. It's false. Why would somebody want a bunch of garbage when they have the doctrine of Christ? I don't understand it. You know, I've taught for 50 years. I learn something in the simplicity of Christ every time I teach through the Bible. I don't know it all, but I love to learn. But I don't want to learn garbage. That stuff really turns me off. Let me stick to God's word and be a teacher thereof. And may you do the same. All right? It lives on itself. That's the Greek metaphor that is taught there in that 13th verse. Verse 14. But continue thou. That means you stick with it. Don't change. Continue with thou with in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who? The Holy Spirit, of course. A Spirit, when he touches you with that simplicity, the knowledge. 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. They can do what? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That is to say, by sticking with his doctrine and not the foolishness of men. 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You can live by it. You can count on it. You can set your watch by it. for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That's to say fresh, in truth, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Are you furnished? Do you have sufficient to teach with, to live by, to focus upon, and see that you're not deceived by one of the deceivers? It's important, beloved. Don't let someone... The apostasy is coming. That's called a falling away or a leading astray, a vacillation, and so forth, that you to and fro. We don't have time for that. That's why Jesus said, let your nay be nay and your yea yea. Yes or no, period. Well, on the other hand, when somebody said, on the other hand, be careful, friend. It's all right to discuss. But if we're discussing God's word, it's his hand, not somebody else's. Okay, point made. Deceivers like to deceive themselves when they go in the teaching mode, as is illustrated by that metaphor. Okay, go back past 1 Timothy, go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, Paul teaching again. Paul, in a way, we could say he's all... You know what, Thessalonians, it's important that you bring your mind up to speed here. Thessalonians 1 and 2 are written about the return of Christ, all right? So you know what the subject is. It kind of sets the time period in which this is given that you can grasp to know. If you don't know the time period, that's what it means, rightly dividing the word. Who is it written to? Who is it talking about? What time period? So there you got it. Chapter 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. It wasn't empty. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of Christ with much contention. We ended up in jail, okay? But we stuck with that doctrine, the simplicity within it. For our exhortation was not of deceit, plano. It was not fraud. Christ is really coming back a second time. That's what they were accused of. Nor of uncleanliness, nor in guile, but as ye were allowed of God, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. Don't ever try to be a man pleaser. Okay, teach the word whether it's taken good, bad, or in between. Be faithful to God. All right, but God, which trieth our hearts. I want you to remember that sentence real well. Who tries your heart? God does. Do you know what your heart is here? It's your mind. God tries your mind. You know something else? He knows what you're thinking. You don't have any secrets from our Father. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. We could have taken a salary. We didn't. We worked. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Why? They were their spiritual children. They had converted them, and they became their spiritual children. Just as when you bring someone in, they are your spiritual child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. I want to skip to verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you according to his kingdom and glory. For this cause, for this reason, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. Now, That's just the way it is. Now, what did it say, that you received the Spirit of God? No, the Word of God. The Spirit goes with that. Why? Well, first of all, who's the living Word? Christ is. Beware of the word of men. Now, God just gave you a little exercise here. You don't follow this man or any other man, they'll end up in the wrong chapter every time. Okay. Check it out for yourself. In closing, I want to take you to the second chapter of Revelation. And this is going to be real quick. This is where you don't want to end up at, and I hope you know it's why you don't want to belong to this, to the particular church we're going to be reading about. Chapter 2 in the great book of Revelation, remembering now the purpose, Christ's purpose, focus, all right? This is the letter to the seven churches. The church we're about to read about, Thyatira, is not a good church, all right? You don't want to be a member of it. Why? Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Did she call herself a bartender down? And I don't have anything against bartenders. I want to make that clear. Only reason I'm using that is so many people think that's the depth of degradation. Well, God doesn't think so. God thinks people that claim to be prophets and aren't is the depth of degradation. All right? I want to make that point. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce, there's your word again, my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. She wants to lead you into a fake religion whereby you're going to be the Jezebel that ends right up in Satan's bed. All right? Period. And I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. I came, the son died, he paid with his blood, wrote the book, the letter to her. She had every opportunity to change. She didn't. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. God does not like fake teaching. That's one reason why, beloved, if you ever decide that you're called as a teacher, and there are teachers in this room, you had better pray about it well, because we get judged first. And God help you if you ever lead a poor soul astray. It's your responsibility, all right? You don't have to worry about it as long as you stick with God's word, because that's his doctrine, and he'll back you up. But you get off on your own, and you're knocking on the doors of hell, because it'll open wide for you and God will kick you into it. Why? Well, listen. Except they repent, and I will kill her children with death, that spiritual death. If they want to believe that kind of garbage, I'll let them die a spiritual death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins, that's the very inner parts and the minds, hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your what? Faith? No, your works. What you believe, what you fade, what you teach, that's your works. Okay. And you're going to be judged. Hey, you let it be some seducing doctrine that you dreamed up in the night, and you're headed for trouble. Big trouble. That is not to say that God has not spoken to people in dreams. I said self-indulgence, self-religion, rather than God's simplicity, all right? But unto you, verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, he won't tolerate fake doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan. That's important right there. Do you know the depths of Satan? Do you know what that means? Do you know he's going to be kicked out of heaven and he's coming here as the false Messiah? I hope you do, or you're already in Thyatira. Depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. That's enough. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. If that's all you're capable of absorbing, hang tough with it, all right? And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. I want you to note the word works was used there. Do you do God's work or do you do your own? Then if you answer that question, I can tell you whether you're blessed or unblessed. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. God's going to rule, the Son is, and he's going to have a rod of iron. Do you want to be in good standing with him or bad? I don't want to feel that iron myself, okay? As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Someone that deliberately goes astray and deceives themselves deserves it. Okay? Do you know what happens when you take an iron bar and hit a piece of pottery? And I will give him the morning star early. Did you know that? You know who the morning star is? That's Christ. That's the truth. 29, to end this lecture. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Make sure.